times I think I know what I was meant to be. I realize my gifts come from your hand. My prayer is that you'll pave the way to set my wishes free. But if you choose another road, I'll understand. 'Cause I know you know what's best for me, though I may not understand. Sometimes it hurts to trust the path that's been determined by your plan. So if you wish to lead me down some other road, then I would choose. I'll follow you, oh Lord, 'cause I've learned I can trust you. Your word is clear. You said you wish to grant my heart's desire. I know you long to bless the steps I take. But I can't see what waits around the bend, so I'll believe every turn you choose is for my sake. 'Cause I know you know what's best for me, though I may not understand. Sometimes it hurts to trust the path that's been determined by your plan. So if you wish to lead me down some other road, then I would choose. I'll follow you, oh Lord, 'cause I've learned to only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. If you choose to lead me down some other road, then I would choose. I'll follow you, oh Lord, 'cause I've learned I can trust you.
Peace. If you would please take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 1 this morning. There is very little information given about Mary in the Bible. However, what is said sets before us a tremendous example of submissiveness to God's will. Even as Brenda just sang, we have no clue what's behind that next bend in the road. But God does, because he laid it all out. And what he's wanting is for his children to just trust him. He's got it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would help in these next few moments. Lord, help me to present this truth clearly. Help us, all of us, to hear clearly, that our hearts would be opened, allowing the Spirit to work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Submissiveness to God is an absolute essential for every believer. Look with me at verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So the angel Gabriel was sent from God with a message. Just in that verse 27, there is so much that is said about Mary there. There is so much that is laid out doctrinally for us as Christians. Mary was a pure virgin. She had never touched a man, not immorally. This is unmistakably and clearly stated there in verse 27. And she even confirmed the fact herself later in verse 34. Now it says that Mary was espoused to Joseph. Being espoused was something like an engagement, which we would consider an engagement period. Except it was different from our engagement periods. Today, our engagement periods, the guy works up the nerve, takes out the loan to buy the ring, which would make a really good down payment on a house, or Harley, just saying, and proposes to the lady, and she accepts, and then they plan the wedding date, and they are officially engaged. At any time, either one of them could walk away from it today, okay? The guy, probably not, because he'll lose the ring, but anyone could. During this time, this culture, the espousal period was more binding. It was a contract, basically. It's already been arranged. They are getting married. And in order for it to be broken, the espousal period lasted for 1 year. In order for that to be broken, there would have to be the writing of a divorce. A bill of divorcement is what it's referred to in the Bible. Oh, that word's in there. Yes, applying to this engagement period and for the purpose of unfaithfulness during that engagement period. So Mary and Joseph, they were both godly individuals. In fact, they were so godly that God could choose them to be the parents of his son. God expects both women and men to be morally pure. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And then in Titus chapter 2 and verse 3, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that," here we go, "they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Let's consider some things here. In looking at the virgin birth of Christ, one question needs to be asked, I think. Why would God's son have to enter the world through a virgin? Why does she have to be a virgin? Why was it necessary that Jesus be born of a virgin? Well, if he had been born as other men, his very birth would indicate that he was no more than a mere man. But this is not so with Christ. Christ already existed. All Christ needed, he's in heaven before his birth, all he needed was a body. Jesus said, in fact, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, speaking to God, he said, "A body hast thou prepared for me." In order for Jesus to identify with man, kind of like that expression we use sometimes, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. The whole idea is, yeah, I can identify with that. In order for him to identify with man, he had to come through the process of conception through a woman. So had to perform a miracle, causing Mary to conceive by an act of his divine power. The birth of God's Son, it required a miraculous nature, both a divine nature and a human nature. He had to be born of a woman in order to have a human nature. And he had to be born by a miraculous act of God so as not to take on man's corruption, that sin nature that's passed on through Adam. The birth of God's Son required the birth of a perfect nature. We are all born with sin. It's our default to sin. The birth of Christ needed to have a perfect nature. Why? Because a perfect life needed to be lived so that he could stand and cover all men in perfection and righteousness through his death. No man has been or is perfect. Man, the Bible says, comes short of this, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short. But God acted. God did something that we could not do. He did everything to secure righteousness and perfection for man. God went through all this trouble with Jesus to be born of a virgin and have him come into the world with a human nature, but a divine nature, all of that, so he could get us righteousness and perfection. He took every step necessary to save his people from their sins and from death. God sent his Son into the world, not through a man and a woman, but through a miraculous act of his own upon the Virgin Mary. Christ was thereby what he sometimes referred to as the God-man. He was both. As God-man, Christ had the capacity, the innate power to not sin. His godly nature empowered him to live righteously, never doing wrong, always choosing and doing right. Sounds like the dream child, doesn't it, parents? By living a sinless life, Christ was able to secure righteousness that would cover all men. As God-man, Christ was able to arise from the dead. And because of his righteousness, our sin can be covered. Christ was exalted to sit at the right hand of the Father. As God-man, the path has been opened for us to also be exalted. The birth of God's Son required the virgin birth because he had to enter the world differently from others. Because he is different by the very nature of his being, he had to enter the world in such a way as to proclaim his divine nature, yet in such a way that would allow him to partake of a human nature as well. Only God could figure that out. The birth of God's Son required a second Adam, a second man, okay, that would be born just like the first Adam, Adam and Eve. How was Adam born, by the way, in the Garden of Eden when there were no parents? How was he born? He was born by the Word of God using a natural substance. How was Jesus born? The Word of God, who said it to be so, using a natural substance. A baby. The second man had to be born to become what the first Adam failed to become, the representative man. the ideal man, the pattern, the perfect one in whom all men could find their ideal perfect pattern of righteousness. Adam was created for that, but he failed. The second man, he was born to be what Adam failed to be, the man who always chose to love and obey God in all things. He was born to become what the first Adam failed to pass on to man, which was the way to God, the truth of God, the life of God. Adam was supposed to be that one that led all peoples to God, but he failed. And what did Jesus say in John 14:6? I am the way. That's where that comes from. I am the truth. Jesus was born to offer what the first Adam failed to pass on, the nature of righteousness. The birth of God's Son, it required an espoused state. Not a single state, not a married state. Why is that? Well, because if Mary was a single woman, that would have raised all kinds of questions as a single woman. As a married woman, she wouldn't have been a virgin. It had to be that espoused state. Now, let's go ahead and look at God's grace in all of this in regards to Mary. Verse 28, the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. There's three statements made here about Mary. First, the angel says, God's messenger, God speaking through the angel, says, Mary, you are highly favored by God. What a statement to be made about someone. Just think, God does favor us. How do I know that? He saves us. He gifts us. He uses us. We are favored by the God of the universe. An incredible privilege and an awesome responsibility to make ourselves available to receive his blessing. Here's the second statement. The angel said that God was with her. Now, what does that mean? She didn't walk through life alone. He hasn't told her yet what God's going to do, but he's telling her right now, God is with you. Mary's life had pleased God. She allowed God to walk with her. So God was able to be with her. You know, God doesn't force himself in anybody's life. If you want God in your life, then you have to live a life that pleases God and allow God to walk with you. Here's a third statement, that she was blessed among women. Now, let's move on to verse 29 and look at humility, Mary's humility in verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Let me just stop there. Isn't that an understatement? Okay, well, maybe not. This angel just presented himself to her. Okay, that's a little troubling. And then he just lavished all this praise on her. Could someone get me a glass of water, please? Okay, thank you, Gary. She was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was trying to make sense of all of this. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Mary was not perfect. How do we know that? She was human, okay? There are those today that try to elevate Mary to this saintly status, but she was not. She was human. She was troubled, that verse says. What does that mean? She was troubled. Fearful. But the fact that Mary was troubled needs to just be briefly considered here. Why was she troubled? The angel made these three statements. Mary, you are highly favored by God. God is with you, and you're blessed among women. And Mary's thoughts were right at that point, me? Why me? How me? Demonstrating her humility. The angel said, you're highly favored by God. God is with you, blessed among women. And Mary said, well, yeah, I can see why. No, she didn't. She didn't get it. She didn't look at herself that way. Mary was troubled because she couldn't understand how God could be so could so greatly favor a person like herself. Thank you, Gary. Let's see if I can drink this without spilling it. Demonstrating humility, okay? She wasn't a proud, self-centered, flighty, frivolous young lady who was conscious of herself and what others thought of her. Mary never dreamed she was anyone special. I mean, who was she? She came from Nazareth. Nazareth was this backwater town. When she heard that God was to favor her and use her in a special way, she was troubled. Now, that word means perplexed. She just couldn't figure out why God was doing that. How could she, so ordinary and humble, do anything special for God? Have you ever thought that? What a striking example Mary was. Why would God pick Mary? Well, in James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's the key that opens the door for God's grace, humility. Isaiah 66, 2, for all those things that hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been said, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Now, the angel told Mary that she was to call him Jesus, which means Savior. That took faith. Faith in God. Mary was expected to believe the miraculous, but she was puzzled. She wasn't doubting like Zacharias. We looked at him last week. Remember, he doubted, and as a consequence of his doubt, God turned off his voice box until John the Baptist would be born. Mary wasn't doubting. She was just puzzled. She was simply asking for more information from God to have a better understanding. Like, she's thinking, okay, God, my mom and dad, you know, they told me about the birds and the bees. So how could this thing happen where I'm with child and I'm a virgin? She didn't get it, okay? Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Here's a thought for us. As believers, we are to believe the miraculous. Casey Harris and her family, they believed that God was going to perform a miracle. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In the power of God, we should trust. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We have to trust, not in circumstances, not in whether things make sense or not. We trust in not everything is going to turn out okay. No, we trust in the power of God. God encouraged her with this news about her cousin Elizabeth. That demonstrated God's power to Mary. You see, with men, a lot is possible, isn't it? Look at the things that man can do today. To say that all things are possible with men is far from the truth. When Mary heard and meditated on just that simple statement, with God, all things are possible, she was bound to be encouraged. The statement was simple, and it could be easily remembered and understood. God expects us to believe Him, all of Him, all of the words, to believe all of them, and to believe His power, regardless of circumstances and our feelings. Sometimes our feelings of helplessness, even. Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God, I like this, is in the heavens. He hath done whatever He pleases. I paraphrase that a little bit. Mary demonstrated her humility, her faith, which then led to her surrender. She was submissive. Her response was, right at that moment, only one short sentence. Look with me at verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That's all she said. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be so. Now, consider what she's saying. She's pregnant. Out of wedlock. That may not be as big of a deal today as it was, say, 60 years ago in our culture. But in her culture, there was shame associated with that. It was definitely inconvenient. It would cause hardships for her. It would affect relationships with her parents, with Joseph. As far as she knows, she doesn't know that he knows yet. She hadn't talked to him yet. She's got to talk to him. And yet, what was her statement? Let it be so. Completely submitted to what God had for her. We see a picture here, I think, of the value of human life. Now, as I was thinking through this, I mean, one of my first thoughts was, well, yeah, she didn't end the baby's life. She trusted what the angel said, and someone pointed out to me, well, they didn't have abortions back then. Well, I checked. History records abortions as far back as 1500 BC. So it was possible. No one else knew. She wasn't showing yet. She chose life. Even though it meant that she was going to be an unwed mother. I mean, who's going to believe her story anyway? Even though there was also the possibility of being condemned to death for her appearance of immorality. Casey Harris, she chose life. Even though most likely the baby would not leave her body alive. She chose life, even though it meant carrying her baby as long as God allowed, and just trusting. Every day, waking and possibly wondering, is this the day it all ends? Praying every day. Her prayer throughout that time evolved from God heal this to God just let us experience him alive. She wasn't asking for much. She just said, just let us experience him alive. And every day praying that and wondering if this is the day it's all going to end. Every day, think about this, going through the normal things of pregnancy that a woman goes through. She didn't have to. I think most people would not have cast any judgment on her to have terminated when it was advised or offered to her. The changes to her body, her hormones, the emotions. Add to that, again, every day waking and wondering, is this the last day? Wondering even, what's the point? I'm not going to get to keep him. Why am I doing this? What's the point? But they chose life, and God gave it. It wasn't long. It was just 4.5 hours, and he never left the hospital room. I was there. It was the most intense, fulfilled 4.5 hours that I have ever experienced, as we all got to celebrate and feel life. Her doctor, who had delivered all of her 7 previous children, and she had been very vocal with him about her faith and why they were moving forward with this. I think I saw him in 1 or 2 of the pictures. He had to leave the room. He was bawling so hard. God was in that room, and you could feel him as he was allowing this family to enjoy life. The psalmist wrote, Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Oh, that our prayer might be, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Focused on God's will, folks. Focus on life, because that is God's will. And moving forward, letting our light shine to everyone around us. Just as Casey did. In preparing for Kai's memorial service, she allowed me to read her journal that she kept during that pregnancy. And I saw a different person at the end from what I saw in the beginning. In the beginning entries, it was like, why? God, why? And then God began to change her to one of complete trust in God's power. And God used that not just in her life, but her children's lives as well, and her husband's, her church family. God used it in my life. They chose life. They chose to let that light shine. And God shined that light in many people's lives. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. And we can just rest on that, folks. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, life can be so hard. Yeah, there's the daily things that it seems like everyone goes through. Some people go through some really big things, and most people don't even know about it. It's behind their closed doors, the struggles, the fears. But as we breathe, God, we are right now your masterpiece. We are life. You created it in us. And as we're breathing, that is proof that you're not done with this life. And you want this life to shine your light. God, I pray that the way we live our lives would line up to this truth, so that your light could shine through us, with our families, coworkers, people we interact with. God, I pray that that would be so today. If there's someone here that doesn't know your light, doesn't know that they're going to heaven, God, I pray today is a day that they would receive that forgiveness for their sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.